Welcome to the Archives of Physical Medicine and Rehabilitation podcast, highlighting key developments in rehabilitation research and practice. I'm Duncan Babbage, Associate Professor in Rehabilitation and ABI Rehabilitation Fellow at Auckland University of Technology. Today's guest on the podcast is Dr. Mary Catani, Assistant Professor at the Department of Occupational Therapy at Colorado State University. Dr. Catani is lead author in the February 2015 issue of Archives of the paper Psychometric Properties of the Young Children's Participation and Environment Measure. Maximizing participation is a prized value in rehabilitation. I was therefore struck by the observation in your paper that assessments for young children typically address their functional abilities and task performance rather than their participation. This may not be an issue unique to rehabilitation for children either, but that was your focus, so we'll keep that focus here. Your focus wasn't just children, however, but the youngest group of children?
Yes, that's right. So children birth to 5 years. And you hit on an important question, which is, why don't we assess what we value, right? And so my understanding is that participation is a valued outcome of services for young children. It's clearly formally referenced in many of the major frameworks that guide clinical service provision. But when historically, when you think about it, there's been a greater tradition of developmental assessment for two reasons. We assess developmental capacities in young children for pragmatic reasons because developmental scores determine service eligibility, but we also focus and emphasize developmental assessments in pediatric practice, oftentimes because of this assumption that when you improve the child's developmental capacities, that those are the strongest predictors of their functional outcomes, including their participation. More recently, there's been momentum for assessing functional outcomes, and when those outcomes are assessed, typically the primary focus is on assessing discrete task performance, so whether children can walk upstairs as a discrete functional task. So assessing participation in young children is sort of a logical next step to move beyond rhetoric in our practice framework. So by developing valid, reliable, feasible ways of assessing young children's participation, we're more fully assessing that which we value. Having said that, participation is very complex to confidently and feasibly measure. And I've been working with a research team for a number of years, a great one, to try and work through some of those thorny issues around how do you capture young children's participation in the form of a questionnaire.
Yeah, it's an interesting issue to think about participation in such a young group. Healthy participation is going to look quite different for these young children than for adults or even older children. I guess the environment is a critical part of participation for anyone, but is so much more obviously tied up with the participation of young children who are always dependent on adults. So how did this influence the focus and development of this work?
Yes, absolutely. This has been a recurring point of discussion, actually, in the literature on participation from a life course perspective. How do you define it? What characterizes this concept of participation? And it's interesting because when you consider an infant or young child, their participation in almost every activity is dependent on the presence and engagement of another person, like you mentioned, such as the parent or caregiver. And many times, participation is socially mandated by either the family unit or in a daycare preschool environment could be mandated by the educational environment. And so in this case, some of the ways that we've often characterized participation for adults becomes problematic when you apply it to children. For example, the difference between participation and social participation that's often discussed in the adult literature is not so meaningful when you think about many or most life situations for young children being social. And defining participation according to social roles, as is often described in the adult literature on participation, becomes problematic when you try to apply that principle to measuring participation in children, because young children don't typically have clearly defined social roles. And so in our work, we've gone into the work considering that any life situation for a young child can be social and is likely to be social. It's done with someone else. And so our formative work actually with parents, some of our qualitative studies with parents have led us to see another way of characterizing participation in a young group. So instead of thinking about classifying participation according to the type of activity, like whether it's social or not, we could maybe organize our thinking around where the activity takes place, because activities that children do are different in the home versus the community, and the environments of the home and community are also different. And so when we began our work early on, this sort of discovery impacted the look of the tool. It looks much more like a matrix than it does like a typical questionnaire with 10 items on a single scale, because here we're taking a more context-specific approach to assessment.
Specifically then, what factors in day-to-day participation activities for these children were you intending to capture in the scope of this measure?
This design decision of trying to classify the concept according to location shaped the design of the tool. So in its current form, the YCPEM, the Young Children's Participation Environment Measure, has three sections. Those three sections correspond to three settings that young children's lives typically take place in. So the home, the daycare, preschool environment, and the community environment. And each section of the questionnaire, each of those three sections has two parts. We ask the parent to evaluate their child's participation, and then we ask them to also evaluate the impact of the environment on their child's participation. So when the parent starts the questionnaire, there's a listing of activities, and we keep those activities very broad. So for example, in the community, we might ask about dining out, and examples of dining out situations might be dine-in and takeout meals, coffee shops. And for each of those broad activities, we ask parents three things. We ask them how often their child participates, how involved their child is, and whether or not they want it to change. And once they've gone through appraising their child participation, we ask them to evaluate the impact of that home, daycare, preschool, or community environment on participation. So it's a different type of a questionnaire. It takes a few minutes to acclimate to the structure and the layout, but it reflects what we were finding in our formative work with parents in terms of how they think about evaluating their child's functioning at that level.
So overall, you reported that the research provided support for the reliability and validity of the measure for a range of research uses. While listeners will likely need to read the paper for the full details, can you outline the key findings and conclusions?
Sure, I can try, though I will put a note out there that with a complex assessment, there are complex results and reporting of results. We had undertaken a web-based validation in last year with close to 400 caregivers of young children in North America ages 0 to 5 years. And our data suggested that of the multiple scales in the measure, there are four scales. Because we asked three types of participation questions and one environment question, right? And so we found that when we looked at the psychometrics of those scales, that most of those scales produce consistent and stable estimates. We're most confident based on our data that all four of the scales could be used if someone was administering just the home section of the instrument, because all four of the scales produce consistent and stable estimates. And for the daycare, preschool, and community sections, most but not all of the scales produced acceptable estimates. And so further validation work is definitely needed for those sections. And we're not sure. It's possible that some of our results, some of our lower estimates in those other sections could be due to just a fewer number of items in those sections. It could be due to some sampling issues, having a smaller sample size for the daycare, preschool section, for example. Because not everyone attends a daycare preschool when they're less than 5 years old. Or there could just be variability in parental expectations of their child in out-of-home context. And so as far as the reliability, the confidence with which somebody might use the tool, those were our initial findings. And they were mixed, but they were quite believable, I think, because it wasn't so clean. We felt that the results were quite promising. As far as being able to discriminate participation patterns, one of our most interesting findings was we didn't find age-related differences, but we found disability-related differences across all of the scales with moderate to large effects. And the effect of age, whether you can decipher differences in participation for really young kids based on age, there's really mixed literature on that. And so that's something that our results definitely contribute to the literature on whether or not there are age-related differences, but we are able to show disability-related differences with fairly consistently based on our data.
What then are the next steps with developing this area of measurement further? Do you anticipate further developing the scale? And alongside this, if other researchers are interested in examining this area in their own research, are you at a point where this is a measure they could be considering to use?
We're humbled that we've had significant interest in use of the tool for research purposes. Our focus right now is preparing it to increase uptake of the tool in research primarily at this point. So the YCPEM is being used in select longitudinal studies that I'm involved in, which could help build knowledge about predictors of participation change and understanding functional trajectories at that level. But we're also preparing the tool for a broader distribution this year. The PDF, the paper version of the tool, is ready. I'm quickly learning that there's a laundry list of things to do, including getting the user's guide ready. And so that's where we're currently at. We're almost done with the user's guide. And we've had a number of international colleagues and students in my research lab who are very keen on pursuing language translation and cross-cultural adaptation project related to the tool to further increase the uptake of the tool. And as far as further developing the skill, you know, this tool is part of a family of instruments. It has a companion questionnaire designed for older children and youth. And so there isn't any further development of the YCPEM, the young children's version. But for the version for older children, my colleague Dana Anapy is beginning work on a youth self-report, where instead of obtaining the caregiver's perspective of the child's participation, we might be able to capture the young person's perspective directly. And so that, I would say that's probably a major area of further development for these tools.
So the work described in this paper was intended to lay a research foundation with a particular focus on a measure that would be suitable for large-scale studies, but you note it has the potential for future applicability for measuring participation in clinical samples.
The information that you can obtain from the YCPEM, we ask whether or not parents want their child's participation to change. When parents say yes, we ask them what strategies they have tried to promote their child's participation or to improve it. And those two pieces of information are thought about as potentially launching a conversation around how do you design a care plan to address areas where change is desired. Those two pieces of information might be particularly helpful for care planning. And so we've been working with parents and conducting some formative studies to understand, is there a systematic process to build on the YCPEM baseline report? The parent takes the assessment, they get a report summarizing their responses, and then the question is, can they use that information? Can we guide them through a process to systematically build on those results and begin to set goals and design solutions to problems, leveraging the information from the baseline assessment?
Through your focus on measuring participation in young children, you've no doubt had occasion to reflect on these issues more broadly. When you think about the current way that we provide services and support to families of children with disabilities, either developmental or acquired, are we doing the right things to support participation? And what might be the next areas we could improve on to make this better?
So I'm, you know, relative to some of my mentors and colleagues, I'm relatively new, so I potentially bring a fresh perspective to this question. From my clinical experiences and my experiences in research to date, I think there's good intention to improve participation outcomes in young children. There's definitely a lot of theoretical, descriptive literature on what participation means and why it's important for young children. There's less confidence and assurance about what interventions targeting participation work and for whom they work and when they work. And so with more measurement options, we could fill important knowledge gaps to better guide clinical practice on this outcome. If we understood the common types of problems, patterns in the types of difficulties young children experience in their home, daycare, preschool, or community participation, and we could begin to decipher the factors that predict those poor outcomes, we could potentially identify the factors that need to be intervened on, drill down a little bit further into the nuances of when do you intervene on them, what do you intervene on, and for how long. And fascinating work by some of my colleagues in elucidating the role of the environment, particularly on functioning, has really challenged that assumption that the child's functional abilities are the strongest predictors of their functional outcomes. So if I were to say where work needs to go, now that more measures are becoming available, I think it's applying those measures to really elucidate pathways to participation outcomes and then building and testing interventions that consider the full range of things that you can modify to promote participation outcomes, including the child environment, which has often been discussed recently is potentially more modifiable than the child's condition or their functional abilities. And so whether we've paid enough attention to environment is a hot topic of conversation. I'd say further investigation in that area would be very fruitful.
The work we've been discussing was supported by the Comprehensive Opportunities in Rehabilitation Research Training Program, an NIH K-12 Career Development Award mechanism. To access the paper discussed in this podcast, visit archives-pmr.org. For information about the American Congress of Rehabilitation Medicine, visit acrm.org.